in our next segment?
We're having an interview between, not an interview, I'm sorry, it's a report by Juan Palomo about Diane Mosbecker. She is the regional medical chief for mental health in San Mateo County, California. Ms. Mosbecker will be speaking in Houston on March 11th at the Healing the Hurt Conference on Homophobia, sponsored by PFLAG. She recently spoke at the National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association Conference in Dallas. Juan Palomo, a columnist for the Houston Post, attended the conference and has this report on Dee Mosbecker.
Dee Mosbecker is a lesbian and a psychiatrist who is the medical director for mental health in San Mateo County outside San Francisco. If the name Mosbecker sounds familiar to most Texans, it should. Mosbecker is the daughter of Robert Mosbecker, the Houston oil man who served as Secretary of Commerce in the administration of his close friend and political ally, George Bush. Her brother, Rob, has run unsuccessfully for Texas U.S. Senator and Lieutenant Governor. Both father and son are conservative Republicans who have never felt any need to distance themselves from the anti-homosexual words and tactics of some of their Republican brethren. Yet both men say they have always loved and accepted Dee Mosbecker, even if their political differences strained their relationship at the height of the 1988 presidential campaign. It was during that campaign that Dee Mosbecker made a huge splash by talking about her homosexuality in a front-page story in the Style section of the Washington Post. Today, Dee Mosbecker also says she is once again close to her family. In fact, when she agreed to be the keynote speaker at PFLAG's conference on homophobia here, she did so on the condition that it be held next weekend so that she could be here for her father's birthday. Mosbecker first spoke publicly about her sexuality in 1988 when both she and her father were scheduled to deliver commencement addresses at neighboring California colleges. During a recent Dallas speech to the Texas chapter of the National Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association, she talked about how she approached the subject in her commencement address.
My father and I had breakfast this morning, I said. We read each other's speeches. He would have given mine, but he's not a lesbian. I would have given his, but I'm not a Republican.
Actually, Mosbecker explains, that was her second coming out. Her first coming out took place in 1979 while she was a medical student here in Houston, and she credits a local doctor with pushing her to leave the closet.
I was 30 years old and starting medical school. In years past, I had been active in the anti-war and pro-choice movements. I had been a paramedic in the women's health movement as the women's health movement blossomed. Later, as I became aware I was a lesbian, I joined the struggle for lesbian and gay liberation. But now, the 60s were long gone, the 70s were almost over. It was time, I thought, to stop my political activism, go back in the closet, settle down, and just study medicine. But after I'd been in medical school for several months, a few things began to make me change my mind. First, there were the homophobic professors whose prejudiced assumptions about homosexuality permeated my medicine and psychiatry courses. I realized that these assumptions were not so materially different from those a number of years past about people of color or women. Then I witnessed the negative effect of closeted gay administrators and professors. I could see their pain, but their own fear and hatred of themselves, their own internalized homophobia, had often mined others, both gay and straight. But third, and most important to me, was that there was this one medical student, Gary Bruton, who, by the way, still practices in Houston. I don't know if any of you from Houston might know him, but I remember him very well. He was a pretty plain guy. He was very far-sighted, so his eyes looked huge behind his thick glasses. A soft-spoken, young Texas gentleman. I must admit, when I first saw him, I thought, ah, typical medical school nerd. You know the type. Plastic in the pockets, lots of colored pens, neat white lab coats, and so on. That was my first take on Gary. Then one day, Gary stood up alone to confront someone's anti-gay remark. I was amazed. How could he do it by himself with no support? But he did do it. He did it again and again. And soon, I realized I could do it too. Gary had made it possible for me to stand up.
Her activism led her to produce a slideshow called Closets Are Health Hazards, Gay and Lesbian Physicians Come Out. That slideshow is still being used in medical schools across the country to begin the process of destigmatizing gay and lesbian sexuality.
Now, if students are not able to stand up in their own class, they can bring the voices and images of 16 lesbian and gay physicians and medical students into their school as a way of saying to their heterosexual counterparts that we are your classmates and colleagues, and we want to feel safe enough to tell you that.
Just as she has made a difference in medical school, Mosbacher believes she is making a difference now. She says she thinks that her speaking out contributed to the toning down of the anti-gay rhetoric of the Republican Party. However, since the 88 election, the anti-gay venom of the religionist right has intensified, as she stressed during her Dallas speech.
We are confronted with an enormously wealthy, enormously well-organized Christian right. I don't need to tell you that here in Texas.
The best way to meet this threat, she said, is by coming out.
I feel I must liberate that title from Sports Illustrated and use it for us here today. Dare to be great. All of us know it takes courage to get out of the closet and to stay out. You've all shared with me that twinge of fear when you've wondered in each new situation whether to be out or not. Yet, almost all of us have done it anyway, and we keep on doing it. You know, one of the things that I heard at the National Gay and Lesbian March that really impressed me was that while the mass movement aspect of the march, the fact that we were a million strong in Washington was very powerful. But what was even more, had the potential to be even more powerful, was that if every single one of the million plus of us went home and came out to just one other person that we weren't out to, it would have a tremendous effect.
The March on Washington and the proposal to end the military's ban against gay and lesbians led to the production and wide distribution by the right of the Gay Agenda and other videos that grossly distort what lesbian and gay life is all about. Watching those videos and their effectiveness, Mosbacher was moved to take action to counter their effect.
Other videos that have come out, one in particular that came out right after the Gay Agenda is, I think, directed more toward the converted, and is probably meant to be an organizing tool for those, you know, the gays and lesbians who are going to be out there doing the campaign work. This is really meant to go through the churches, to go to the organizers in the states where anti-lesbian and gay initiatives are on the ballot, and to be available to as many people as possible to try to, I hope to affect some people's thinking about homosexuality and about homophobia as well.
She said she hopes her video, which she has titled Straight from the Heart, reaches the people who could benefit the most.
Probably mostly the sort of middle class, mostly white Christian folks who are on the fence about this, and I think that's a very large segment of the population, people who just don't quite get it. I mean, they're probably some of our parents. I'm taking this home to show to Dad for his birthday next month.
It would be interesting to watch your father's reaction to the film, for it is a powerful piece of work that should affect the thinking of all but the most closed-minded. It is characterized by its calmness and lack of hysteria or finger-pointing, using the words of a number of Americans from all walks of life who have been touched in one way or another by homosexuality. Mosbacher said she tried to get a celebrity to narrate the film, but she was unable to find any takers, so she settled for a church leader.
Hello, I'm Dr. Robert McAfee Brown. I'm here today to talk about an issue that concerns us all. There's a growing debate about equal rights for Americans who are gay or lesbian. A Opponents claim they're unnecessary and label them as special rights. Supporters claim they're essential and bring up examples of discrimination and violence. You may have strong opinions about equal rights for homosexuals, or you may be undecided. Whatever you think about the issue, there's a good chance you haven't heard the whole story. You're about to meet a number of Americans from different walks of life. These are thoughtful people who have faced this issue, as we all will someday at home or at work. They've been able to draw on their religious beliefs and their national heritage to come to a new understanding of homosexuality and of themselves. As Americans, one of our most deeply held values is fairness. The question now is whether our commitment to fairness will stand.
The most compelling interviews were those with the parents of gays and lesbians. From the Portland, Oregon police chief whose lesbian daughter is a police officer, to the Mormon couple in Idaho whose gay son died of AIDS, to the African-American mother of two lesbian daughters. But the most moving, the most touching words were those of Roscoe Thorne, the father of a young Navy airman named Tracy Thorne, who was kicked out of the Navy last year for disclosing his homosexuality. You may have read his testimony before the military judges and before a congressional committee in defense of his son and against the ban on gays in the military. But the written words simply don't have the same power as Roscoe Thorne's southern drawl as he compares today's treatments of gays and lesbians to how he himself was trained as a young boy and a young man to be a part of a system that treated African Americans as inferior to whites. Listen to him relate a particularly painful story about his involvement in segregation.
I had a heck of a time giving up prejudice. I was born in Mississippi. And I didn't think black folks were as good as I was, because I was taught that. And I remember I was working in a drugstore as a registered pharmacist. I was about 25 years old. The drugstore where I practiced pharmacy with an older man was just down the street from the Baptist Hospital, and we had a lot of medical personnel coming in and out of the drugstore. And one day I noticed a young nurse with a white uniform come into our drugstore and sit down at a soda fountain. And I was told by my boss, head pharmacist, to go over and chase her away. She wasn't allowed to sit at the counter. And so I did as I was told. I went over and said, "I'm sorry, you're going to have to leave. You can't stay here. We don't serve colors here at this soda fountain." And she was a beautiful young person. I guess she was about my age, maybe a year or two younger. A registered nurse, white uniform, beautiful person. And she cried, and she left.
Some issues on an intellectual level, but also really talking, speaking from the heart. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, I just was at a function with Mitzi Henderson, who's the president of PFLAG, the other night, and she actually used the same phrase just as part of her introductory remark. So I think it's something that is heartfelt, and that's the approach that we've taken in this particular video.
Straight from the Heart is available for $39.95 by writing to 3145 Geary Boulevard. That's G-E-A-R-Y Boulevard. Box 421, San Francisco, 94118. This is Juan Palomo for KPFT.
Dee Mosbacher will give a keynote luncheon address at Healing the Hurt Conference on Homophobia, March 11th here in Houston. This conference is an educational conference on homophobia for professionals and the general public, presented by PFLAG, Parents and Friends of Gays and Lesbians, here in Houston.